Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Two.
I just want to warn all of you that I ate White Castle stone cold sober like 30 minutes ago. And there's a reason that I turned on the Sensi warmer in my studio. In case you didn't notice. Who are you people? And where's Hoss and Gary? Just kidding. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. Hoss is on a little trip. And so I've got Darren Yates hanging out with me today. Say hey, Darren.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Darren is a Granite City native like me, radio TV guy like me, musician not like me. I don't have a musical bone in my body. But we'll get into that in a little bit here. I want to also say hi to producer Stephanie.
Hello.
Gary is not here because we are sort of reconstructing some things. There are some really exciting things going on with the Kelly Mano Show.
Yes.
And there's going to be some new positions created. And so Gary has got a little a bump in a different direction, but he's still around. We can't seem to get rid of him.
I know.
He knows our address, so we're screwed.
Do you have some big announcement today, maybe? Or?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
The
okay.
announcement is coming.
It's coming, yeah.
But not yet. So, but Stephanie is going to be taking over the producing week to week of the Kelly Mano Show.
I am.
While
Super
we
excited.
Reposition Gary for some exciting stuff coming up. So, Darren, say hi to everybody and tell them a little bit about what you do with Right Radio.
Hello. Well, first of all, I have to ask, is the White Castle, is that because of a toot or your breath or
what? No, it's the breath, and then I just coached a girls' soccer game
toot.
And I took off my shoes and I could smell my own feet.
Yeah. Nice.
Which normally only other people have to smell your feet. If you can smell your own feet, it's bad. So
but
I showered today and stuff, but it's just hot and sweaty and so,
it smells good.
Well, good.
So
that's because I turned on that Sensi warmer. Just don't put your head under the desk.
Nice.
That's the danger zone. So tell everybody about Right Radio.
You know what? I have been bitten by a couple bugs in my life. First was music.
Yes.
You know, I spent time in L.A. and Nashville and toured and went overseas and did all that stuff.
Tell everybody what your band was.
On Tracy Lane. On Tracy Lane was the like rock, retro, throwback kind of vibe.
Sure.
Well, I guess before music, the sports bug. My dad's football team. I was a water boy by 5 or 6.
Nice.
And I was PO'd. See, I'm not going to cuss. I was PO'd that
you can say pissed off. That's
can
not
I say
bad.
That?
Yes.
I'm such a good little boy. I said toot.
You can
dark.
Say fart
what a
too.
Nerd.
I even say, my favorite cuss word is shit. Like, I can
cool.
use that as like a verb, a noun, a action verb, a, you know.
It's true. It covers all the bases.
So anyway.
So I'm so pissed off that I'm 5'9", 170. I wanted to be 6'2", 6'3". I want to play football.
Right.
And you know what I mean?
I wanted to be a supermodel. Just kidding. I never wanted to be a supermodel. I guess once you hit a certain age, size plays into a factor when it comes into sports. And that's why
completely.
My son Rocky is an athlete and, you know, his mother's 5 feet tall. So every time we go to the doctor and he's like, he's in like the 60, 70th percentile. I'm like, yes.
Nice. Oh,
there's hope yet.
Nice.
The angels sing. I keep cutting you off.
It's okay. I like it. This is fun. The pace is good. I like that.
You like it?
Some people in radio need to know pace. It's got, in fact, there's some good.
I think that this is
slow
my
down.
Normal life pace.
It kind of is, yeah.
I like it.
What is it?
Bring it on.
We say you put the Energizer
bunny. I make the Energizer bunny look like a slug on tranquilizers.
Yeah,
I mean, I really.
I feel it.
I have one speed. I do everything in my life fast. So,
nice.
Because I came to be interviewed on Right Radio on
Rick Fowler's
show. And for the first time ever, I was nervous because I feel like I'm the worst interview ever. Like, if somebody has to interview me, it's like interviewing like a chipmunk who just had a Red Bull.
What? No way.
And so I came. You've got a whole online network.
Thank you so much. I do. You know, it's crazy. You know, I was going to go to New York to pursue, keep the dream going, keep the journey going. Never thought I'd have kids, get married, all stuff. I met a girl, Crystal, who you know.
Yep.
And so I stopped the New York plans. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, I want to stay around the Midwest and see what happens with this Crystal girl.
Sure.
So here we are, 6 years later, whatever. Two kids, we've got the house, blah, blah, blah. And so I thought, well, I guess, you know, I'm not going to tour the world in rock music.
Right, and be a rock and roll.
You know, I'm not going to be a sports guy, so I got to figure out something else I'm going to do. So I got into a web series. I started doing podcasts, all that stuff. And then Tim McKernan, he's now the owner of 590. He's a programmer of 590.
Right.
He just started the new regime September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Darren, I know you've been bothering me about interviewing me on my web series, or your web series, and we never made contact, or whatever. Our schedules are crazy. But yeah. would you want to do a morning show on 920, CBS Sports 920?
Right, which is a great spot to be on.
Yeah. So I started doing radio in September of 2013. And that was the third bug that bit me.
Oh, radio's
just
bad.
Fell in love with it. I was doing the 5 to 6 a.m. slot Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And I did it for 4 months. I got an offer to do the 1380. They were doing a new regime or new format.
Yeah.
1380 The X, Extreme Talk Radio.
Yeah.
The program director was like, man, I love your show on 920. You got to do the morning show. So I'm like, yeah. So I did 6 to 10 Monday through Friday on 1380 for 6 months.
And then
all the drama happened with the fight between fist fight between Brian McKenna
yes.
and Dan Marshall.
I love radio.
And I had just left the studio when that fight happened, so yeah. I knew the guys well. I knew exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Nick Tripiano was making fun of some crazy stuff he shouldn't be making fun of.
Yeah.
And all that crap went down. So then they didn't pay the tower bill and investors and the drama. Anyway.
And then something completely out of your control.
I had to leave the station.
The bottom fell out.
Like,
yeah.
Screw this. The management. I mean, you know, I don't want to diss anybody, but it was poor management. Mm-hmm. It was such a cool idea. Extreme Talk Radio. It was catching on. I had 4 or 5 sponsors. I had more sponsors I've ever had.
And then.
It just went to SH.
Yeah.
And so then I go back to 920. But on 1380, I was so crazy that I forgot to pull back at 9:20. So
right.
I got my first show back. I was kicked off in the middle of my show.
That's amazing.
Very nice.
In the middle of your show?
The little teleprompter tells you who's on the phone because they have an engineer.
Right.
They have a little glass studio.
Yeah.
Everything. And Darren, the GM, wants to speak with you. And I knew what that meant. And I just had two gay cowboys on. They were talking about horses. And so...
They should have a plaque for you in the hallway.
Seriously.
Like, quickest fired. I remember one of the times we got fired from Steven DC, it was we did a show on a Friday, and the minute the show was over, the PD came in and said, Steven DC in this room, staff in this room. And they're like, you're gone. You're done. Don't come back on Monday.
Really?
Yeah. And so
yes.
It was funny because we thought DC was crazy because he kept telling us he could hear through the electrical socket because the jock bathroom butted up to the PD's office. And he's like, I heard something through the light socket. I think we're getting fired.
Oh, no.
And normally when Steven DC would get fired, we would know because we did something really, really stupid. And here it came. But this was kind of out of nowhere. And so DC told us like all week long that he heard something through the light socket. We're all like, DC's losing it. He's completely losing it. Like, should we call someone? Should we get him help? And yeah, sure enough.
And that was how long ago?
Before I was married, so 13 years ago.
Wow, really?
That's something awesome. Like that.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, the radio is definitely a bug.
It definitely is. And
oh,
so,
it's
so
addicting.
When I got fired from that spot, you know what? Just a little tidbit. The GM didn't even have the balls to tell me. I tried to keep calling him. I finally got a hold of him, and he's just such a jerk.
Really? Because if you're going to be a manager, got to know how to do that. It is called show business, not
yeah,
show friends.
Right. Yeah, it was horrible. So then... You know, I go back to the web series stuff, and mm-hmm. I did 8 shows on Charter TV, the Darren Yates show, interviews. I did Hidden Camera and stuff. Then I try to get back into radio. Bob Romanek, 1510 AM.
Mm-hmm.
I was offered to program that station late last year. Got all that stuff going.
Started building it.
My investor that I had on board, because, you know, a transmitter
right.
to lease it, it's not cheap.
Not cheap.
And so my investor decides to assault somebody and go to jail.
Oh, my gosh.
And you need new friends.
No kidding.
You really
know.
Need new friends.
It's so rock and roll,
how do you
though.
Find these people?
My wife asked me the same question. What the hell are you doing with your life?
Well, that's why, like, I actually have a degree in radio television, which is hysterical because nobody needs that. But, you know, I was the first generation in my family to go to college, and my mom and dad were like, you're going to have a college degree. I'm like, okay, well, it's going to be in radio, you know, and then I built this, you know, I got out of radio early because when I started having babies, my husband and I were both in radio. We were living in a $99,000 house. It was tiny, and we both worked like 50 hours a week and literally couldn't pay the bills. And people don't realize how terrible radio is paid. I mean,
right.
Hideously. And so there's very few that survive, you know, and are in this town for the long haul.
Well, it's like music.
Money.
You either are grinding to make it or you made it.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground sometimes.
And
it's
so
crazy.
I told my husband, I said, we have to get grown up jobs. We have a baby now. We have bills. And so we both left and started doing our own thing. And then. Sure enough, a couple years ago, I started saying, like, you know, I really, really miss radio. I have this great photography career. I still do. But I just, I had to come back. And, you know, I was going to jump back on one of the stations. And that's when Jimmy had a big, like, come to Jesus with me.
Ding.
And sat me down and was like, you need to do a podcast. And I'm like, that's for dorks who can't do real radio. And he's like, no, that's what dorks did that couldn't get in real radio like 5 years ago. Podcasts are coming back and they're a big deal. And I didn't believe him. And I really thought like, oh God, all my radio friends are going to laugh at me. And here I am. I just celebrated my 1 year anniversary. With the show sponsored galore and numbers rising and cool things happening, and I could not do any of it without the awesome Kelly Mano listeners who love the show and share the show and, you know, have listened to me since the beginning. And I promised myself that no matter how bad I sucked, I would do it for a year. And so years come and went, and we're cheersing on to more.
Here we go.
Nice. That's awesome.
It also, we need to just touch on that it is September 11th. It is the 15th anniversary of the Twin Tower attacks. And so a lot of people, you know, at this time of year like to kind of, you know, talk about where they were or their feelings. And I just think that for me, it doesn't get any easier every year. Every year I see these videos and stuff, and it's just, it's just as hard as it was then. And so I have kind of an interesting story for September 11th. My husband and I both do. And when everyone says, like, where were you on September 11th? I was on the telephone with Carrot Top, the comedian.
Oh, no.
Because we were live on the air with Stephen DC, and Carrot Top was due to be interviewed next. And so the producer's job is to get the celebrity on the phone and then put him on hold. And so my husband and I were kind of going back and forth with him. I remember picking up the phone. I'm like, hey, I'm like, you need to turn on the TV. I'm like, we just there's been an accident in New York and we're going to have to push back the interview a few minutes. Can you hang on? And he's like, yeah, man, I'll hang on. So he hung on. And then that was when the second plane hit, and my husband got on the phone with them and was like, we have to cancel this interview. And he's like, oh my God, I know, I just turned it on. And so it's just, it's interesting to me that out there somewhere, somebody's asked Carrot Top before, like, where were you on September 11th? And he's like on the phone with this girl.
Getting a radio interview.
Yeah. So where were you guys 15 years ago today?
You want to go first?
Sure. I was sleeping when all that happened. I was still living at my mom's house. My now husband and I had just started dating.
Yeah.
And he called me and woke me up. He's like, hey, we're evacuating our building and we're all heading out. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I'm groggy. I just woke up. And he's like, oh my gosh, turn on the television. So I turned it on just in time to see the second plane hit.
Yeah.
And I run downstairs and my brother is asleep downstairs. So I'm waking him up and, you know, turning on the TV, you know, and it, and like from there, he's like, I'm, you know, I'm still on the phone, you know, with Josh and going, he's going, I'm going to come over. I'm going to come over. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I'm like in a haze at that point going, and the rest of the day, I think he just hung out at our house and we were watching the news, just like kind of everybody else, you know, just, you know,
frozen
in a shock daze, watching the news all day long and listening to the radio and whatever. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, unfortunately, you know, I didn't get to see all of it.
Right.
But,
Darren, where were you?
You know, I'll never forget, of course. I was in my Venice Beach apartment out in L.A., and I was a substitute teacher in Santa Monica. And I was on call. I get up. I wait to see if I get called from, you know, 6 to 7, whatever. No one called me that morning. Went back to bed. The phone rang a couple times. I didn't get it. You know, I just took a little morning nap. And I checked the messages, and my mom leaves a message. She's crying.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure, Darren, I should make sure you're okay. I've heard that there might be some stuff going on out in L.A. after the New York thing. She's crying. I get chills right now talking about it. I never heard my mom have that tone of voice. And that, oh, my God. I thought, oh, my God, someone's in her family. Something happened. Oh, my, what the hell? Then I thought, well, she mentioned New York and L.A. Let me turn the TV on and see. Of course, I turned the TV on.
Yeah,
I,
it's everywhere.
I was glued for days, like we all were.
Yeah, I was working in media at the time. So I was working for Stephen DC in the morning, and I was working for Channel 4 during the day. And so I remember working like a 17-hour day that day. And I was like a 21-year-old kid. And I just remember all I wanted to do was go home and be with my mom and dad. And I that was the first time I realized that I was a grown-up and I had a job to do and I couldn't leave, you know, to where if it was back in the day and I was bagging groceries at like Farm Fresh, I'd be like, I'm going home. I want my mom. But I just, I remember I just kept looking at the clock. And of course, working at KMOV, there's 8 million TVs.
Oh, I'm sure it was chaos there.
And we're, and again, that was my first time ever like being in media for just the craziest day ever. Mm. And my mom kept calling. She's like, come home, you know, because they started shutting down like every city's monument. And KMOV is located like nearly at the base of the arch.
Right. It's right there.
Yeah. And so mom was like, come home. I'm like, I can. I'm a damn grown up now. But watching a lot of like the montages and stuff like that on Facebook over the weekend made me sad at where I thought our country would be now and where it's not even close. Because, you know, 15 years ago, we were so united, you know, and there was no color. There was no, you know, and if you would have told me that having a black president, we would have some of the hardest racial times ever, yeah. I wouldn't have believed you.
Exactly.
But I'm sorry. I'm sorry to my kids that are being raised in a generation that didn't live through that. And they're being raised in a generation that spits in the face of police officers and sits down for the national anthem. And I just, I can't handle it. And I just, I hope the next generation steps in and fixes some shit. And I don't mean to just tear down the millennials. And, you know, it's not completely their fault.
It's a great song you play, by the way.
It's Elvis, the American Trilogy. It's just my favorite. I was looking at a couple other songs, and I'm like, no, I'm just going to go with Elvis. So thoughts and prayers to all of those
definitely
that have gone through that and are still going through that. Absolutely. And I went and saw the monument in New York, the fountain.
That's right, yeah.
Gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
I'd have been sleeping.
Well, you know, I got a question about, because we have a show that we do on Monday nights. He doesn't do it live at our studio. It's like a
canned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he, as in Nick Drago, he does a conspiracy thing, and he's pretty convincing that it was an inside job. Do you guys go there?
No, I can't even go there, because if that's true,
not that I believe it, but I'm open to the, you know, I'm open. I listen to his
I like to consider myself open, but if that was an inside job, I don't even want to be here. I mean, like physically on this earth, I can't let my mind go there. It's too dark. So we will. I'm going to let Elvis play out. I'm going to let him finish this out. I usually cut stuff off so I don't have to pay for it, but I don't think Elvis is going to sue me. And if he does, I'll make the news. So it is the Kelly Mano
Radio
Show.
Again, you'll make the news.
It's been a while. I'm due. We'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast.
Kelly Mano Show. Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy. Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Oh, that music can only mean one thing, and that is that I am going to tell you about Sacred Movement in St. Charles, Missouri. In a nutshell, Sacred Movement is a dance studio. From the outside, it looks like a dance studio. Inside, it smells like a dance studio. It feels like a dance studio, but it is so much more. I have had so much fun at my belly dancing classes for the last 5 weeks. This week is our final week, and then I move on to belly dancing 2, if you will. I'm going to be taking a video this week, so make sure that you follow me on Facebook so you can check that out. It's like yoga, but with cooler dancing and better music and like a little like oomph of girl power. I'm telling you, it's the new yoga. If you have not tried belly dancing and you want a killer ab and arm workout, you need to check out Sacred Movement in St. Charles, Missouri. They have a 6-week introduction to belly dancing class. You can learn everything you need in those 6 weeks. No, you do not have to hang your belly out. Yes, you can wear your regular yoga pants if you want, just like me. Check out the studio. Ask her questions. Jen is great with new beginners, just like me. Their website is sacredmovementstudio.com. Again, that's www.sacredmovementstudio.com. And the phone number is 314-398-8184. Give Sacred Movement a call and tell them that you heard about it on The Kelly Mano Show.
Yeah. So funkify. So let's take a ride with the brat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat on their head.
That was a rough transition from belly dancing to the brat. I need a third arm to run this show. Not to mention the way that my new desk is set up, I'm like left-handed. So this is my left hand. My That's other, it's a long story.
You
and
put the whole thing around.
Someone like feng shui or something. Hell if I know.
I'm impressed with your setup here. Nice.
Do you like it?
You're doing something right. This big old house out here. Is it cool?
You like it?
Yeah,
I like it. We're like the Beverly Hillbillies. We bought the smallest house on the block and... Here we go.
Does it ever get weird with weird guests who come in and know where you live? Or
no.
See, my wife would flip out.
Well, here's
now
the
it
thing.
I never thought of it that way.
It's not the guests. I do have some very, very...
Well, you're probably pretty selective, right?
I have some
very... Well, maybe not. You have me on here, so wait.
I have some very interesting listeners is what I have. They like to send me videos... In the email at heykelly@kellymano.com.
That's how you get her weird videos.
Some girls get eggplant pics, if you know what I mean. I've got kids in the room. Me, I get videos of guys taking dumps. I wish I was kidding. We're pretty protective about where we live on the air, but most of the guests I invite are very normal people.
Yeah, right on.
And
yeah.
I'm usually the one that reaches out to them. If somebody reaches out to me and wants to be on the show, I'm a little bit like...
A little weird, yeah. Right.
Yep.
You know my wife, so
yes.
There's a little tie there that's not too weird.
No, oh no.
Makes it a little comfy.
I had no worries about you. I had no worries about you.
They didn't tell you about the memory wipe after the show.
Right.
The reason I ask is I'm trying to talk my wife into letting me do some stuff in the basement.
Just get your conceal and carry permit and your wife will let you do anything you want. That's what I did.
I got it.
There you go.
I was at the range today. My range bag is still right there.
I see it.
I'm like, I got it, honey.
Pink, of course.
Oh, yeah.
It's all pink.
Can I see your gun?
Not with the kids in the room.
Okay, you're right. That's terrible.
But it's beautiful. It's a Sig Sauer 380 with a pink pearl handle.
Whoa.
And I'm getting the new Glock 19.
Oh, my God.
I sound like a gun nerd and I'm really not. I've got my girls in the studio for just a minute because I rarely... Libby Lou, come up here to Miss Stephanie's microphone. I rarely pay... Lucy, can you come pull it up on Google?
They're so cute.
Aren't they?
How many do you have?
I don't know. Like three, I think.
Three that you know of?
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I want you to...
Girls definitely know. Guys might say that,
but
girls
know. So my kids have been listening to this poop song. Like, they listen to all kinds of stupid stuff all the time, and I don't pay any attention to it. And then the other day in the car, I actually, like, heard the lyrics. No, honey, pull it up right here. What's the name of it?
The poop song.
That's really original.
The poop song, no, mommy.
I want the original, poop. Not the remake. Okay, so.
Is that the real one?
Yes, and I'm going to play this for you guys. And we're going to put it up on the website at kellymano.com. First of all, the song is horrendous. When you, Libby Lou.
Is it even catchy?
Oh, I think, Libby Lou, can you quit squeezing the microphone? You can say hi.
Hi.
Libby Lou had a really rough week last week. We'll talk about that too.
Hi.
Here is, then I saw the video. And first of all, I have a kid that works in talent.
Her.
And like, I sign off on everything she does. The parents that signed off on this video might be insane.
A little bit.
There's this adorable little African-American boy who is so confused as to what he's even doing. Like, his bottom lip is just hanging open like Bubba Gump, like on Forrest Gump.
Oh, no.
And then the little white girl is, like, insane. Like, crazy wide-eyed. I'm going to play it for you guys.
There's, like, a seven-year-old.
Yes.
It's wow.
Probably one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen in my life.
7 million views.
Growing Sound presents the poop song, an instructional video for families with two-year-olds ready to do number two.
I feel it.
What is going on right now?
I know what to do when I'm about to poop. I go to the potty, pull my underwear down, then I sit and wait until the poop plops down. Then I wipe till brown leaves down, put it in the potty and flush it down. Wash my hands and do a potty dance.
That little white girl could be in the Exorcist remake.
Wow,
that
that's
little
so
boy
awesome.
is the allergy kid. Have you ever seen? He's in a meme where it says like, "Oh, spring, I love it. Can you feel it?" And then like over his, it looks like he's got like bad allergies. So says, "I can feel it."
I think that's just how his face looks.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, he's a meme.
Libby Lou, how did you find this video?
No, it was actually me.
It was you. Well, what do you like about the video? You don't like it, Lucy?
What?
You want to go over there?
Yeah, I'll do it.
What?
Why do you guys watch that video all the time?
Well, one day.
Oh. Girl fight.
Because it's really funny.
Here,
and they it talks about poop.
And they wipe and wipe till Brown leaves town.
Can I put it in the fire?
Here, we want to talk about how we found it. So, this has a couple
they
years
found
ago.
It?
Yes.
A couple years ago, we saw this video and we found it a few days ago.
So, a few days ago, we were talking about poop for some reason at my grandma's.
Because you and your sister made a band called The Stinks.
No, it was a few years ago.
Okay.
And so, they were like, oh, the poop song. We should watch this video. Then we watched it like a million times.
It's quite disturbing.
Is it your favorite song now?
Yeah.
Libby Lou, are you feeling better? Do you want to tell everybody what happened to you last week?
Wait, and then we found it a few days ago, and my...
Yeah, there's like a remix.
Everyone is singing.
There's like a rap remix.
Wow.
So we're going to post it at kellymano.com, because the song does not do the video justice. Like you got to see the full video.
You need the video with the song, that's for sure.
Libby Lou, do you want to tell everybody what happened to you this week on your leg?
I'll talk about it.
So Libby Lou got bit by a brown recluse spider.
I saw that.
Yes.
I saw your post.
All right, you girls are all done. Anything else you want to say?
Gosh, look at that. Here.
You can't stay here.
That was here? Where? Yeah.
Where was the spider? Don't worry, we bombed. All right, bye, girls.
Aww.
We got to talk about grown-up stuff now.
No.
I'm going to talk about boobs and having babies. Bye. Just kidding. Libby Lou got bit by brown recluse, and then it was like two different trips to the doctor, and then it turned into like a staph infection, and she's been on all these kind of crazy antibiotics.
So they could tell exactly what kind of spider bit her, I think? I mean,
yeah, well, we had, when we first moved out here, because we kind of live in
a little more rural.
It is. I mean, it's hard to explain because I'm certainly not a city slicker, but I can't say I like live in the country either. But we live in the middle of nature. We've got lake and woods and, you know, more creatures in the last six
right.
weeks
no,
than
very
I lived
cool
here.
Area.
And we've seen a couple of brown recluse. We've seen two in the house, but it's been like a month and we had Rottler come out and bomb. We had them come out again after she got bit, and we think it's pretty much taken care of. Oh,
right.
they're so mad they can't stay on the radio. They're so mad. But she feels better now. And then I wanted to ask you guys about, I heard in the news this week that there's health experts out there now telling us that milk is bad for us. Have you guys heard about this?
Like regular milk?
I mean, define experts. I mean, like legit experts?
I'm going to pull up a video.
Okay.
Well, you guys, so apparently milk is not good for us. And we're not supposed to...
Like the cow milk? Because there's so many different types of milk now. Almond milk and coconut milk.
I think they mean like animal milk.
Right.
Well, okay. I buy Prairie Farms. That's animal milk, right?
Yeah, that's cow's milk.
Here's the thing. if milk is not good for you, then my kids are screwed, because that's the only thing I got right with their diet. Like, they don't eat crap. They don't eat crap for vegetables, but they drink milk three times.
Oh, we give milk every night at least.
I think there's arguments, you know, for lots of things. I mean, the general consensus, I think, among a lot of nutritionists and so-called experts is saying that dairy is not necessarily great for humans. There's a lot of, I mean, I think a good majority of people are lactose intolerant, even to some degree or another. Some people are like, absolutely can't have dairy. It really messes with their system. You know, they get, you know, lots of discomfort. And some just have kind of bad, you know, reactions. They just don't feel great, you know, after having milk or ice cream or something. So,
love milk.
I do too.
I like
ice
seriously,
is
and my kids
jam.
Love it. Like, they drink milk because I did not want my kids to grow up and drink soda, because I'm a sodaholic. And so because I didn't want to pass that on to them, I even have like a middle schooler who doesn't even like soda. But they drink milk like crazy. Here's a little clip. Like the meme I saw was a picture of a cow and it said, not your mother, not your milk.
Right.
And so here's kind of
I think that's the general argument.
The guy talking about it.
Of cow's milk. I did most of my growing up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin. The purpose of cow's milk is to turn a 65-pound calf into a 400-pound cow as rapidly as possible. Cow's milk is baby calf growth fluid. That's what this
I like
is.
Baby wow. calf growth fluid.
Everything in that white liquid.
I mean, he looks the pretty healthy.
The lipids, the did milk? The sodium, the growth factors, the IGF, all, every one of those is meant to blow that calf up to a great big cow. It wouldn't be there.
He's calling us cows.
I'm telling you, though, this is not news to anybody.
It's news to me. Milk is the only healthy crap. I hate vegetables. I hate vegetables, unless it's green beans covered in, like, butter
sauce,
and salt.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, like, I was always so proud of how, you know, tough I was on my kids to drink their milk. And now I found I'm screwing them up. And speaking of which, so we have to buy milk 2 gallons at a time. And I went to the store the other day and I put away the groceries and I woke up the next morning and I went to go make my cereal. And I'm like, why is only 1 gallon of milk out here? I'm like, oh, man, I must have left it at the store or something. And so I didn't really think about it until the next night was when Libby Lou got the bite. And everything was crazy. And I was driving my car and I looked down and the other gallon of milk is in my passenger floorboard. And I was like, oh, I must have not brought it in. Well, I'll dump that out later. Well, the next day was the day that it got to like 90 something degrees.
Gross, dude.
So I go back out to my car and I'm on the phone with the Rottler guy. And I look down. The milk had expanded. Like, you know how sometimes your antibacterial hand lotions expand, the plastic expanded. It was all taut. I hate that word. It was like taut. And I went to pick it up. And it exploded in my floorboard.
Oh my gosh.
And the water, like the water was already separated from the milk part of it. As if my minivan didn't already smell.
I was gonna say the stench.
Oh my gosh.
If you go in my car right now, everybody's like, Kelly, why is your car clean? And I don't want to tell them because I exploded a gallon of milk. I've got a picture of it. Because I was on the phone with the Rottler guy and I was like, oh my God! And he's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm not telling you. Don't worry about
secret.
It. But it's not a spider. We're good.
See, we'll find our kids' sippy cups under their bed 2 weeks later. And my wife, she laughs at me because I have to open them. I have to give
smell
them a whiff.
It. Yes.
I have to smell it.
You're my soul
brother. She thinks I'm insane.
And I'm like, just clean it. My husband's like, throw it away.
And
I'm
then
like,
my wife will put it in the sink and do nothing. That does nothing. You might as well keep it under the bed. I will let it rinse overnight. Or
soak?
Soak. Let it soak overnight. Yep. But I got to take a whiff. I kind of want to take a whiff of your car.
Oh, it's pretty clean. If you want to whiff something with my feet, they're way worse.
That's where crawling.
We'll be right back. It is a Kelly Mano podcast. Well, sisters and fellas, it's time to get your groove on. I provide the funk, the five sounds to make you move home. Breaking these foods off proper like is S-O-S-O-D-E-F dynamite. Humming, coming, I bet you like Ralph K. And since this ain't no honeymoon, I'm here to stay. And the way we're coming at you, baby, we can't miss. There's a new tag team in town. Whoop Day.
The Kelly Mano Show. Come on! Mondays suck a little bit less. Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
B-side. Check it. So deaf. Bad boy. Collaboration. The Notorious Big in the house. We got the Brat in the house.
And Darren, your wife probably loves my music choices. This is such Granite City 90s white girl rap.
She loves it.
And I'm on a Brat kick today, so.
She gets so mad at my hair metal stuff, my Wheelhouse, my Poisons, and
I
my
would
Skid Row.
Die. I can handle this the Poison and the Skid Row and
Lynch Mob and Warren, Motley Crue. Oh,
just the weird ones that I don't know.
I have a host that calls them musical boners whenever a song comes on. You're like, oh, I remember that. Yeah, we get MBs at Riot Radio sometimes.
Listen to some Tupac. That'll give you a musical boner. That's real music. Notorious B.I.G., baby, baby. So we are joined in studio by my friend Jess.
Hello.
Hey, I need to turn you up.
I was just going
to
say, I can't even hear
myself. Oh, you know what? Turn the microphone down. You haven't been here since we switched microphones.
Yeah, you're talking inside of it.
Yep, so these are omnidirectional. So what you want to do is point the microphone down. And you're going to talk into the side of it. It's going to blow your mind. Get closer.
Is this good now?
No, you need to get like third dick close.
Oh my gosh.
Like making baby close.
I wasn't going to say something.
I'm going to wrap my legs around this like, close then. So I am here with my friend Darren Yates, who's co-hosting with me today. Producer Stephanie is here. And Jess is here because Jess posted something on Facebook yesterday that I thought was interesting that I think has been a discussion now for a long time,
And I wanted to actually have it out loud because I feel like I have this discussion in my head all the time, that I see women on Facebook who are in their, let's say, 30s and either don't have kids or don't plan to have kids, are constantly complaining about other people asking them, when are you going to have kids? Why don't you have kids? There was even a situation that I had where I had run into an old friend, I guess like maybe 5 years ago. And I had asked her a couple of different questions. How's your family? How's married life? Are you guys planning any kids? And I mean, she flat out told me, she's like, why would you ask that? And I was like, because I haven't seen you in 5 years. And my next question was going to be like, what do you watch on Netflix? It just
came up in conversation.
Right. And I didn't judge her. I didn't, you know. And so I thought, oh, my God, like, you know, we live in a society where everybody's butthurt about something. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, yeah, you know, maybe I was wrong and maybe I shouldn't have asked somebody when they were not going to have kids. So I've got Jess here and I've got Stephanie here, who are both beautiful, beautiful women in their 30s, happily married with no babies.
Nope.
And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this article and kind of go line by line. If you guys want to first just kind of gloss over, you don't have to give me all the personal details of your life, but if there's a reason that you don't have kids or if you don't ever want them, just kind of let the listeners know where you stand. And then I want to kind of go through this list. Jess, you got the microphone first.
All right. Well, first of all, the article, I've read many articles. And when I posted this, all I said was interesting.
9 brutally reasons why millennials refuse to have kids.
And
I don't even know if you guys are millennials, aren't you?
I don't know.
I think this article was written for a little bit of a younger crowd, but it still, you know, affects you guys too. So,
Here's my situation. My situation is I'm 35. I've been married for 5 years and it's like, that is the question.
Sure.
And, I used to just kind of brush it off and, mm-hmm, you know, oh, we're just enjoying being married and, you know, whatever.
Now, if somebody asks you that question and you say, oh, you know, we're not really thinking about it right now, or we're, you know, and then if they move on to another question and don't like make a big stink about it, like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
Do you get mad at that person?
Honestly, it depends on who it is. Mm-hmm. If it's somebody that's close to me. And they're asking, like, if this is my best friend, oh, are you guys planning on having kids? That's different than, you know, somebody
stranger.
From my office being mm-hmm. like, oh, are you guys planning on having kids? And I'm like, it used to not bother me. But now it's like, you're asking me if I'm having unprotected sex is what you're doing.
I guess it kind of is.
So you that's know. What you want to know? Okay. so, and I also find it interesting that hardly anybody asks my husband.
Wow. No, that's definitely true.
Interesting. I've been in a few situations. I was in a situation where someone very close to me, I won't say who, mm-hmm. had a few miscarriages mm-hmm. and was obviously very upset by this. Mm-hmm. I was in a situation where I was at a bridal shower and someone else walks into the room and says, oh, hey, how are you? And says to her, oh, when are you guys having kids? And she had just had a miscarriage mm-hmm. and my heart just broke for her. And she held it together with such grace. I couldn't believe it because mm-hmm. I wanted to bawl my eyes out.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is exactly why you don't ask.
Yeah.
Because you don't know.
But, I mean, and in that same conversation, it's like, should nobody ever ask about how my parents are because my dad's dead and it might make me cry? You know, because it's kind of like, I don't know. I think it just depends on more or less the person asking the question and like, the respect that they have. So, Stephanie, jump on the mic. You and Jess are going to have to get really close for this. And tell everybody a little bit about you and your hubby and your decision.
Okay, well, I'm also 35. I've been married for just over 10 years mm-hmm. now. I guess around at 11 years. Mm-hmm. Personally, I had never planned on having kids. You know, he and I had talked about it and we're kind of the mind that, you know, if it happened, it would be fine. But we're definitely, it's not in our plans. Like, we're not waiting for that
and
to happen.
And you guys discussed that way before marriage, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, at least it came up. We obviously discussed it more, mm-hmm. you know, thoroughly after we got married. But
would you say that you don't have a motherly instinct?
No, I would not say that.
You say that you think you do have a motherly instinct.
Well, It's different because I would say that I have a nurturing instinct, but I don't necessarily feel the need or feel the desire to be a mother. Mm-hmm. So, like, I have animals, you know, right. And I've always had animals, and I feel very protective of them. I am an absolute mess taking them to the vet if there's something wrong. It is. And so, and, like, I love taking care of my family and my husband and doing nice things mm-hmm. for people. So I would say, like, I definitely have a nurturing aspect
instinct.
To myself.
Yeah, but you don't have this inside pull to be a mother.
Right. I don't feel like I need to mm-hmm. have offspring. I don't feel like I need to raise a child, to feel fulfilled.
What do you say to people who are like, I imagine you guys get the most flack from older people who say, you're going to regret it.
We get, you'll regret it. And when you're younger, it's always, oh, you'll change your mind.
Yep.
You'll change your mind. And I always thought like, well, okay, you know, if I do, fine. You know, like mm-hmm. whose business is it, you know, but mine if I do.
Right.
I might wake up one day and be like, oh my gosh, I need a child right this second. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that happening.
Is it a Midwest thing? Because part of the joy and just the love I had out on the West Coast, I lived in Southern California for 13 mm-hmm. years. San Diego, Pomona.
You mean as far as people asking?
Venice Beach. Out on the West Coast, in my experience, man, everyone was so open to everyone's different journeys. You didn't have to do this by a certain age or this by a certain age. But when I was here, I would get same questions about the same thing, even being a guy about
mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
Because I had kids when I was older. Of course, I'm 9 years older than my wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cradle and robber.
I kind of am. But it just seemed, it's more, I don't know.
It's a little more down home here, you know, like, where it's a little more expected.
Everyone's journey is
kids.
Your journey. If you have sure. kids, cool. If you don't, cool. You're not supposed to, like, sometimes I feel like in this area, you're supposed to be doing everyone's supposed to be the exact same mm-hmm. thing at the exact same age.
Yeah.
We're all supposed to be like this. You know, the Jim Carrey movie, we're all supposed to be the exact same house, exact same. I don't know, it just drives me crazy
the
sometimes.
Truman Show, yeah.
I had a little bit
so
of
I think it's awesome. If you have kids, not if you don't, I mean, it's mm-hmm. your journey. You're not supposed to be like everyone else.
Right.
Because enjoy the journey. Enjoy the ride if it happens, cool, if not.
My journey was dragging around baby dolls when I was 4 years old playing house. Like, I wanted to be a mom the minute I knew what a mom was. Mm-hmm. And I think on Jimmy and I's like third date, I'm like, hey, by the way, I'm never leaving the St. Louis area and I want a shit ton of kids. And he's like, I'm a mama's boy and I'm one of nine. And I'm like, sweet, we're totally going to get married one day.
Yeah. And that's awesome too. But right. I mean, like I tell my friends of mine who are questioning it, I say, mm-hmm. if you are 99% sure you want kids, don't do it. You have to be 100%.
See, I'm more like, screw it, just do it, just jump in. Because, well, we had, you know, when I, like, I'm surprised I even waited till the wedding to actually start trying.
But so you were 100% though the whole time. You were.
Oh my God, I would have.
So you were in.
She was about 1,020%. Yes.
So we had Rocky 10 months and 4 days after our wedding, and that was not soon enough for me. And then we had two miscarriages between Rocky and Lucy, which is the only reason that they're 2.5 years apart. And then we had Libby Lou right after Lucy. And so I was pregnant like 5 times in 5 years, and I like, we even wanted more after Libby Lou, and we tried for more. And then after a while it was like, well, I'm like, I just felt like God was telling me, like, your body is done, because mm-hmm. some people have really easy pregnancies. I did not.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't think I could put my body through that again. And I, you know, I still feel like I'm gonna like find a pregnant teenager or something that gives me like there's something in my heart that says I'm not done having kids. I mean, no more coming out of this uterus, but you know, I always think like maybe I'll foster or this and that. And so for me, that was just something I wanted forever. I could not wait, like, because having like kids, especially like three, it's like I have my own fan club, you know, following me around. And so when I meet other women and I'm like, hey, so do you want kids? And if they say no, and this is just me being honest, my heart hurts for them, because I think like the only, you know, there's, you love your parents, you love your spouse, you love your dogs. There's not any love on the planet that can rival a mother and child.
I agree.
And I think, oh, you're never gonna live your whole life and not experience that. But then my head goes, well, you go, girl, have fun, travel, work, be exactly. happy, enjoy your damn silence.
Right.
Oh my God, enjoy your silence, enjoy peeing, and nobody
would you,
comes
would
in.
You actually want silence around here?
Oh no, no, no. No.
I don't think that's on the table for you ever.
No, I'm already having a hernia, like trying to debate if I should like just reverse Jimmy's vasectomy and just have more babies. But like, I just listen, I could have 20. It wouldn't be enough. This is not about me. It's about you guys. So even though just my heart instinct is like, oh, you don't want to be a mom, my head is like, so what? You know? And so I think that that just women these days have so much more to offer. And I think that a lot of women, you know, have your careers played into this, like that you wanted a better career, or did that not?
For me, yes. I was in radio for 10 years and then my career completely changed and I had to start over. So
that wasn't a good time to pop out babies.
No.
Yeah.
And I just gotten married and, and so I made a huge career change and, you know, now I'm kind of where I want to be. And I've had this talk with my friends too. And it's, it's the same thing where a lot of them have been very, very career oriented and they've waited or they don't have any kids.
I think I'm both, but I have no other life. Like, I'm very career driven and I'm very mom driven and that's it. I have no other life.
It seems like female, I mean, my experience, if females want something, they're going to get it.
Yeah.
In some way, I mean, if you can't have them, you'll adopt.
I would have stole babies.
You'll do the...
I would have stole babies.
steal a baby.
Because...
Buy one on Craigslist.
Well, maybe I'll have one so I know what it feels like to have one, and then I can just sell it to you.
That would be awesome. I'll start saving
now. You know it'll be cute because my husband's adorable.
You guys are adorable. Yes, I don't want to have any more babies. I don't want to carry any more babies.
All right, new plan.
I know. Well, Jess and I have doppelganger husbands, too. So
you do. Get on those fertility drugs like Octomom, and then like you guys only keep like two of them and I'll take the other six.
Wait, your husband looks like my husband?
Yes.
Is that your
son? Oh, yeah, they're both redheads.
I did not know this.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture.
Oh boy.
Absolutely. Now Stephanie's been in the same career for a while now, so your career didn't really, you just from the beginning weren't super interested in having kids.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, like, I don't think my career was a huge factor in that. I think it was more of and it's going to sound awful, you know, my own kind of selfish one for my own happiness.
Yeah.
And selfish is maybe the wrong word, but it's totally accurate in my opinion. So I think
that not having kids is a selfish decision in a great way. It's not a selfish decision in a negative, mean way.
Right.
It is a decision to live your life exactly how you want to and not turn it over to somebody else.
Because once you've done that for yourself, then you'll be a better mom because you did it.
Yeah.
You had that time for you, you know, and now you'll be because once you have kids, it's not about you at all.
Oh, those shitheads hold you hostage forever.
And that's the thing. And people a lot of times see that as like, oh, well, you must not like, you know, we don't want to let Stephanie hang out with the babies because, you know, she doesn't like it.
That's so stupid.
No, I love children.
You just have Libby Lou on your lap.
I know. I love kids. I know. I love
but
being around them and playing with them. I'm actually really good with kids.
I think that like aunts who don't have kids are the best aunts ever.
Oh my gosh, we're so cool.
You know,
I have a 12-year-old nephew who I can take to the movies, buy him $10 worth of candy and a Mountain Dew, get them all sugared up. We go to the movie and then I send him home and I'm like,
give him back.
See you later.
Now he's your problem.
That's awesome.
Oh, I give him a little bit of sugar. Yeah.
Just a little bit. So number one on this list of reasons that we don't want kids is number one, we're poor as hell.
Do you know how much daycare is, by the way? Yeah. Have you checked into that?
Oh, yeah. No, it's easily like, what, $200 a week?
Yeah.
For one kid?
Maybe 10 years ago.
Oh, is it even more now?
I
honestly don't even know, but I know it's ridiculous.
I read an article where they compared it to college tuition.
Yeah.
Which is sick.
I know a lot of moms work just to pay for daycare. Like at the end of the day, they're like $80 ahead every week. And
it's like, oh, okay. And I have medical insurance or work. And that's about it.
Now, we were poor when we started having babies. But to me, that doesn't matter. Like money doesn't matter to me. It's like if you always wait for the right time to have a baby, you never will.
And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Unless you're literally like on food stamps and losing your house, then yeah, maybe use a condom. But you know, if you're just like, oh, I'm paycheck to paycheck, so is everybody else. Number two, traffic and high rents make life miserable for people that already. Oh, this is just basically saying that we're overpopulating the world,
and that's not something that. That's why I said this article was interesting. Some of it I agreed with, some of it I didn't agree with. That is something I've never considered.
Pregnancy is not hot.
Also something I never considered
That was not even a slightest factor in my
It's like, oh, I'm renting out my uterus. And I think that didn't apply to me.
The way I looked was the only thing I liked about being pregnant. There was a lady on my Facebook today. I think I screenshot it.
My gosh, you know how awesome you can rock a bikini, though, when you have a cute baby belly?
Yeah.
Not to mention, I would totally dig being able to eat whatever I want.
Can I read that last
sentence?
Hello.
What does it say?
Only thing I want inside me is a vibrator or 26 burritos.
That's disgusting. Why would it say that?
Sorry, that was
deep. She's also like 26 years old.
Zara, 26.
Yeah. One of my friends on Facebook posted, just a little advice to anyone who encounters a pregnant woman. It is by no means acceptable to tell her how huge she is, or you can't believe she's not due yet, or are you sure there's not two in there? I never minded any of that. I just, maybe I don't get offended very easily. I mean, if it was coming from the right person and I knew they were joking, you know, she's like,
it really is all.
I mean, if you
source,
if you want to have a kid that bad, you're going to love the process.
Does anybody not get butthurt about anything these days? You know what I'm sick of?
I hate Facebook sometimes.
You know what I'm sick of?
Tell me, Kelly, what are you sick of? I'd love to know.
I am sick of articles on Facebook telling us how to not talk to people. Like, 9 things to say to someone who's never had a baby. 9 things not to say to somebody whose dad died. 9 things to say to somebody who has 4 vaginas. Like, what? Were we on the
air? Whoa.
There, I'm sure there's an article.
And there's articles that say milk is good for us, too.
Yes.
Did we all walk around like
Neanderthals before Facebook, not knowing how to talk to each other?
Apparently.
You know, like,
what? It's a good thing I have Facebook because I would never know.
Right. What not to say to a mom of all boys. And it's like, if you get pregnant with your 4th boy and I really make a joke like, oh my God, congratulations, you almost got your own football team, and you're offended by that, go cry in a bucket. You know, and like, I read the, and everybody's like, repost, this is so true. All of this. Number 17.
Oh, I love when people are like, say the numbers. Yeah,
yes. Like, and like, okay. I even read the one about like, what not to say to a girl who's lost her dad. And I'm like, as long as you don't come up to me and be like, hey, your dad's dead, but I'm ching, like, I'm not offended. Like,
and I'm not easily offended either, but it's like, it's everyone you talk to. Yes. When are you having a baby?
I could see how that would get really old.
Ugh.
Or just the, do you have kids question when you say no, you get the passover of their face going, you know, like,
oh, well, what do I ask you next?
Like, they don't know what to say next. They're like, oh, I have some pictures up in my cubicle of work of my adorable niece who just turned 1. And I just moved upstairs. So there's a lot of people I don't know.
And they think it's your baby.
And they walk by and they're like, oh, your daughter's so cute. And I'm like, oh, it's my niece. And they go, oh, well, how many kids do you have? None. I just have a niece and a nephew. And
you should just start lying.
I should.
Like, didn't you hear about me on the news? I was Octomom.
I make them and I sell them. It's going to be my new answer.
Where is that lady now?
I make babies and then I sell them to Kelly Mano.
Oh, God, that would be great. I'm just going to go. I've decided that I'm going to go on a mission trip to Haiti. And I'm going to get one of those fake baby dolls that look like real life babies, like a little black one. And I'm going to carry it in like a baby Bjorn over to Haiti. And then I'm going to come back with a real baby in it. That's my current plan, to steal a baby. Not steal it, because women like give them to you on the street over there. So, you know. If you know any pregnant teenagers, my email is heykelly@kellymano.com. Number 4, we will F them up with our terrible parenting.
Okay, can I just say that I usually like the kids a lot more than I like their parents.
Heck yeah. Kids are awesome.
I'm in the grocery store and I'm like, you're a terrible, just give me that kid.
Yes. I would rather hang out with kids than grown-ups any day.
Absolutely.
Number 5, the world kind of sucks now. I could see this one. I mean,
not stopping me. I mean.
Yeah, I see really hard stuff and go, oh, this is going to be so hard for them to live in. Mm-hmm. I think every generation does that, but ours has been pretty rough.
You know, whenever I was getting questions, I know being a guy is different than being a girl or whatever, but the whole kid thing. But I would get the same questions. I come home from California and people ask me, and I would always say something about, well, you know what? I've lived a dream. I've done some stuff for me. What have you not done with your dream? Or did you even have a dream?
Right.
And that would kind of silence them sometimes. I know it's kind of mean sometimes because some people, you know, their dream is to have kids.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sounds like that was yours, kind of.
It was.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
But there are people who are in the world who want to do other things besides have kids. They want to do other things first.
Yeah, it's like, have fun at your desk job. See ya. I'm going to California.
Because we have one chance of this life. And I think it's great that people who want to do something for themselves first and then maybe have kids.
I mean, isn't that like, don't our parents, you know, didn't they raise us to want to be happy and make ourselves happy? You know?
Better than them.
Yeah, that's all they wanted for us, is to be happy, you know? And so, like, if that... it doesn't include making grandchildren for them, or that doesn't include having, you know, children of our own. I don't see why, you know, that seems like such a terrible thing.
I wish Haas was here, because he would be a great guy.
When you asked me this, that was I was going to say, Haas gets this from his mom. And I know.
And he's an only child. He's going to turn 40 this year and doesn't have any babies.
Oh, wow.
And so, yes, I think people get
He has a baby, but it's a dog.
Yes.
Just like me.
Crystal and I had 2 kids with, it was the same thing. You know, if it happens, cool. If not, cool. That was exactly where we were at. Yeah. And now she wants a 3rd, and we're trying, and there's nothing happening.
She's
getting these little Walgreens tests, and there's
when you try so hard,
it doesn't happen.
Let me just tell you, the whole trying to have a baby is the worst thing in the world. Oh my God. It's like, I just ate like 30 pounds of Mexican food. We got to be up at 6 in the morning, but I just peed on a stick that lit up. I'm ovulating, baby. Let's go.
I need
like,
your sperm.
Like you're,
can I say sperm? I can say that, right?
Yes, okay. And I don't know how long you guys have been trying.
We already said it. We're going to have to go back and bleep this out. I mean, I can't believe you said sperm.
Well, at least
I didn't say the N-word like Rick Fowler did.
I edited that out. I just want to say to the people out there who are actively trying to have a baby, this is the worst your sex life will ever be in your entire life. And I promise it gets better. It gets better. I mean, when you're timing stuff down to the minute and then you're laying upside down with your feet on the wall and, you know.
Oh,
right.
Oh, I don't great. Even. Yeah, I'm not cut out for that.
Yeah.
First of all, bad sex. What are you?
I know.
What?
Me and Jess and I are like, wait a minute. What?
The actual.
I don't have bad sex, so I can't.
Oh, if you ever decide that you like, and not just like, oh, if it happens, it happens. But if it's like, we need a baby, and you're actually like, I mean, you have to check your like cervical mucus. And you have to chart your temperature every morning.
Freaking kidding me?
No.
And then you have to hang upside down, like she said.
It's not upside
you
down.
You vampire yourself, apparently, now.
They make actual pillows for you to lay in a special position with your legs in the air so that the sperm can use gravity to go.
That reminds me of Phoebe when she was on Friends. And she's, like, hanging upside down. And she's like.
Jimmy would come in the room. He's like. What are you doing? I'm like, it's gravity. It's got to work. The sperm's got to go downhill.
Is that true?
So I need to be upside down. How do you think I got pregnant 5 times in 5 years? We just put a gymnastics bar in the bedroom. And
so if you're trying not to get pregnant, make sure you don't hang upside down.
It's definitely a different vibe, you know, when you're both in the mood versus just to give her some
it
sperm
becomes
for
a job
baby.
Then.
Yeah.
It is a chore.
It's definitely weird.
Yes, and the man, he's got to perform or you're pissed.
Oh, the pressure's on.
Because you've got to wait a whole other month. If he screws it up.
Oh, yeah, it's his problem.
Yeah,
for
you know.
Sure.
If he screws it up, it's like, well, shit, now we've got to wait a whole other
way
month
to go.
For this.
Way to go.
Well, thank you for being so open, ladies. I love you both, and I love that you don't have kids, and I hope that people stop acting like assholes around you. But it's nice to know that I am allowed to ask somebody, oh, hey, are you guys having any kids? And not be the worst person in the world for asking that question, as long as I don't follow it up with, oh my God, you're ruining your life.
That's what happens. It's the follow-up. God. The look on their face. Mm-hmm.
We should be allowed to slap people and not go to jail.
Somebody came up to me once at a wedding and they were like, so when are you and Travis having kids? And I'm like,
what?
And he goes, well, you know, Travis wants a baby. And I go, do you think that as a married couple, we've never talked about this? You go ask Travis if he wants a baby and then get back to me.
Next time somebody walks up to you, oh, my boob hit the mouse and turned off the music.
What the hell? I don't have that problem either.
Next time somebody comes up to you and says, are you and Travis going to have a baby? Be like, well, I don't know. We had sex on Tuesday, so it could be happening.
But we've been
right
doing
now.
It 3 times a day. What do you think?
You should be like, yes, tomorrow. Can't you tell?
We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Manor Show. I got beats and beats that you love to ride to. Funk for your trunk is what I provide you. So slide through your hood with me in your deck is your correct way to get your groove on. Flossin', I paid the cost to be the boss as a kid. Now I be the one that you can't mess with. They thought luck did it, but it didn't, cause I'm back again, back with the big and my newfound friend. Sliding in from the front, never way behind. You're trying to figure how I came with the style of mine. Remain in your seats as I release the clip into your hip. Brad and Biggie Small.
Oh shit, on top of all that, I'm so remarkable. Flow making competition know it. Ain't an MC coming close to the Notorious B.I.G. Baby.
The Kelly Manor Show.
She finally found a job
that doesn't require a bra. The Kelly Manor Show is on the air.
Now back from the 606, 44, full of endo. Untypical is that badass hoe. B to the R to the A to the T. Ain't no bitch in this industry that can see me. The city of CHI is where I'm from. The third month.
It is the Kelly Manor Radio Show, and we're still talking about baby stuff. Like, we can't get past it right now.
Way to go. You brought it up, and now I can't stop.
Well, now we're on the whole thing how, like, you know, all these crackheads and 19-year-olds get pregnant with no problem. And
I prefer to say uneducated.
I say crackhead.
Yeah, that's fine.
But then, you know, perfectly capable human beings of raising babies. And then don't even get me started on adoption and the $30,000 cost is ridiculous.
I saw a thing on Facebook the other day that said, why shouldn't adoption cost more than an abortion?
Don't even get me. I swore at the very beginning of this show I would never talk about abortion on the air. So I'm gonna shut my mouth up on right, that one because okay. I will take the hardest right turn you've ever seen.
Really?
And we will be in church nice. Here in a minute. I will take your ass to church on this pro-life desk.
Wow.
And to change the subject, Darren just asked to use the bathroom in my house. And I'm like, just go walk around. Just
find it.
Because I hate when people like...
What does that mean? Like walk around like a dog and find a spot you like?
Well, because I'm sitting backwards to my house and I couldn't think of left and right. But I hate when you're at somebody's house and they over explain how to get to the bathroom.
Take a left at the picture. Yeah. Then take a right by
like,
the fence.
Second or, door right. on the right. It's got blue walls. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's got a shitter in it. So I'm just going to see it from the hallway. But isn't it funny how you're at someone's house and they're like, I'm like, can I use
top
your bathroom?
Top the stairs, down top the hall, stairs, to the
go
left,
past the little angel statue. Nope, not that one, the second one. And then the light's on the right-hand side, not the left. I'm like, dude, if you got a toilet and toilet paper.
Well, people come in the right radio, so we have two rooms.
I used your radio, your toilet, and I went to wipe and almost tipped the entire toilet over.
It is a little unstable, isn't it? You're the first person who has brought that up. Thank you.
Yeah, well, because I pee like every 5 minutes.
Because I feel the same way.
Oh,
yeah.
Same.
It's a little tilty, isn't it?
I have the bladder of a child, and so people probably...
That's so crazy.
I mark my territory like a dog. I walk into people's house. I'm like, hi, how are you? Where's your bathroom? Like, I'll do a photo session for, like, a newborn, and I'll be at their house, like, 90 minutes maybe. I'll pee twice. And I'm like, I know that they think I'm, like, snorting a line in the bathroom or something. I just have no bladder. So, yeah, I've peed in everybody's bathroom that I pretty much know.
Nice.
Have I told anybody in here that I'm having surgery tomorrow?
No. Did you tell Jimmy?
He's the only one who knows. So I haven't told anybody. I haven't even told my mom yet. As a matter of fact, that's why we're not on Facebook Live right now, because I get a phone call her. Because my mom is a worrywart, and I don't like her to worry.
Are you going to tell her after?
No, I'm going to tell her now. I'm going to tell her the night before. I just didn't want her to worry.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you just tell her tomorrow on the way?
In case she wants to come. I don't think she can come because she has to work. But so I've had this stupid lump in my leg for a year now. And I thought it was a knotted muscle, you know, just from like working out or running or something. And so about 6 months into it, I went and saw like a masseuse, my lady Joanne. And I'm like, okay, there's this knot in my leg. And then she got to it. She's like, that's not a knot. She's like, I don't know what it is, but it's not going anywhere. So just call your doctor. So, of course,
like,
I did.
What does it feel like? Is it like
I can let you? Well,
is it like a marble? Is it like how big is this thing?
It's it is a unspecified mass that is growing deep in my leg by the bone. And so I can let you feel it.
Why don't you just let me take care of it? I won't even charge you a copay.
Trust me, I wish. I'll do it.
And could you do that? Yeah.
I brought up a
what
few.
What do you do?
It can't be that hard. Just split it open and look for something weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll biopsy that too.
I specifically did not bring this up to any doctors for a long time because I just knew they'd want to take it out. Well, because I saw a new doctor because I moved to this area, so I had to see a brand new doctor. It's like, hi, how are you? You know,
I got this lump.
It was just like a normal checkup. I'm like, okay, so I'm on Synthroid and Prozac, and if you take either one of those away, it's really, really bad. You know, and then he's like, okay, anything else? And I'm like, well, I got this lump in my leg. It's been like a year. And then he felt it. He's like, well, it's firm and it doesn't move, so we definitely need to get it looked at. And then I went and got an ultrasound done of it, and I told the story in the air that the lady did the ultrasound, and she's not talking to me. Like, I'm always trying.
They can't.
I know, but usually.
And that drives me crazy. I'm like, okay, what is
they
it?
Can't.
And they're like, they can't no, tell you anything.
They can't tell you when they're doing an ultrasound.
But I try to judge by their body language. So I'm even asking her how her day is, about her scrubs, and she's not talking to me.
You're like, tell me.
I'm like,
something.
This is bad. And then she wipes off my leg, and she's like, well, she goes, I'm done with my exam, but I need you to stay on the table because I think the radiologist is going to want to come and see you. And I'm like, why would that happen? And she goes, well, anytime we just don't get something that we see every day, you know, they usually want to see it for themselves. And I'm like, F you. Like, don't.
Oh,
like,
man.
Yeah, I'm like, this isn't a muscle, is it? And so anyway, so she went down the hall, got the radiologist, and they ended up not coming down. She's like, never mind, my pictures are good enough. So I knew something was up. And then they call me, they're like, we got to take it out. So any like.
So I'm sure, aren't they just going to numb the area, lance it, pull it out?
No, they're putting me under because.
No way.
Yeah, because it's a bigger.
I got to see this.
It's
thing.
A bigger
can we look
lump.
At it and feel it?
Well, most of it is behind my bone. So it feels like a marble. Hang on.
So is it going to get taken out?
It's
She's like, hang on.
I mean, I can. It's really hard for you guys to feel. Come here, Jess. Give me your
finger. It's not like it's some it's crazy, horrible thing. I mean, you're just taking it out, right?
Right. Well, see, they don't even want to biopsy it. They want to go straight to her. So if you put your finger right there, hang on. You can right there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you think?
What's it feels feel like? It's firm and it doesn't move. So
I think it's a part of a taco.
That's what you know, right? I was like, please be a bone spur. So anyway, like stuff.
Please be a bone spur.
Well, that's like normal stuff, right? So the surgeon assured me that lumps and bumps in your body are so normal, and especially below the waist, they're hardly ever anything scary, but it's just got to come out. So stupid surgery tomorrow. I'm not excited. And now I got to call and tell my mom.
Are you kind of excited to get out of there? And
yeah, because it hurts. It hurts. Yeah.
See, I wouldn't want to see it. After they take it out, I'd be like, let me see
I'd be a little excited. Oh, get out of there.
When I had my breast reduction, I still have a whole like envelope of pictures. I'm like, I want you to take a picture of the fat in the bucket next to me.
Oh.
And yeah.
Did they do it?
Oh, yeah. We did my breast reduction live on the air with Stephen D.C. So,
did you really?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Jimmy was reporting live from the surgery room.
So why'd you do that, the reduction? Just
Well, because my back was fracturing and I was this was young, skinny, before kids, like 115 pounds. And I had like 38 double Ds, which doesn't sound very big. Maybe I needed a bigger size.
But if you're...
I've got pictures I can show you guys.
Double Ds are pretty large, huh?
Not when you're 5 feet tall and a soccer player. Let me just tell you that I was a figure skater my whole life, and you have to wear those spandex outfits, and then puberty hit. And we've got this video of me as a junior in high school in the Christmas show doing Santa Baby, and I'm in a red spandex skating outfit.
Why am I visioning Mean Girls right
now? Yeah, exactly. And the whole chest is bedazzled. And my starting move was this Santa Baby, and it's like a wave of boobs. It's like Santa Baby. And I'm 15 years old. It's disgusting.
Girls would love to have that.
I have the problem only in my ass, and you know that.
Yes.
Can I have an ass reduction?
Sure. If you give me some of it. But
you can make bigger, smaller, anything you want.
Yeah. I'm the person that buys an extra small swimsuit top and a medium bottom.
Oh. Must be hard. Yeah. Must be a rough life.
I have a friend that has a bigger penis now. He got a penis enlargement.
What?
He was super tiny, I guess.
Can I have him on the show?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wait. He can be anonymous if he wants.
His name's Dave.
Whoa. I didn't know you could really do it.
He can be anonymous. His name's Dave.
And here's his number. He lives at 222 Adam Street. Greatest city in Illinois.
His last name is.
In the surgery, I guess they took off too much skin. So when he masturbates, he can't have any skin to go over the head. So he has to use like a whole thing of lotion every time he does it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So it went
okay,
little.
Yeah, you need to have him on the show.
He would. Oh, you would love him. He would.
I'm starting to spice girls because I need to go to my happy place. I need to go to my happy place.
Like he was like, he wants to remain anonymous. His name is Dave, and this. Oh my!
Sorry. Hey, I had to leave my mark here. I'm urinating.
Well,
on
you've that. Done it. You've just peed all over the place.
And you wouldn't even say fart in the beginning of the show,
and now you're making
wanker noises.
I know. That's my trademark.
All right, Darren, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Plug
seriously.
Your online radio network.
Yeah, well,
again.
You know what? Riot Radio started. Out of frustration for the landscape of radio.
Yes.
There's turnover. There's people getting fired. There's people playing the same 20 damn songs all day.
Yep.
There's 20-minute commercial breaks.
So if you
crazy.
Want something new and
so
different.
So RiotRadioRocks.com, it's our now, all the shows. It's our middle finger to the other stations that don't know what's up.
There you go. Jess, thanks for stopping by and talking about your uterus.
Yeah. And my ovaries. I mean, let's not exclude anything.
I always know when to call you for the good stuff.
You do.
Producer Stephanie, thank you for being here as always. There will definitely not be a second show this week because I'm having surgery.
Good luck with that.
I'm sure you can look forward to.
Yeah, I want the follow up on this.
Oh, Jim, I'm sure my husband will be on Facebook Live when I'm under anesthesia. He was last time.
Can you put the ball next to your boob fat?
I don't know.
There you go.
If they let me keep it, it's going here? Up there. So, all right. If you like the show, share the show. Nobody's going to listen to the show if you don't share it, damn it.
Ooh.
Share the show because
sounds like a threat.
Share it,
damn it.
That's why you're so popular. You threaten your listeners to do stuff.
If you want to email me, it's heykelly@kellymano.com.
And if you're making babies and want to sell them to anybody.
Oh, God, call me immediately. If you know a pregnant teenager, shoot, I'll give you my cell. But So no second show this week, but we've got some really cool shows planned in September with some amazing guests. You're going to want to stay tuned at kellymano.com. Thank you guys for listening. Until I see you next week, stay sassy, classy, and a bit smart assy, and we'll see you then. Bye, guys. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much.